Okay, well, we're moving on to Seattle here. A team that we're not very familiar with. We haven't seen much of them, although we crossed paths with them a few times this year in watching some of those NFC games, like St. Louis and San Francisco. But, we've got a lot of work to do in terms of, getting familiar with them. I think having Hasselbeck back certainly is a big lift for him offensively. He's pretty experienced and quarterback that makes a lot of quick decisions and can get the ball to his talented receivers, and it seems like they've gotten a lot of people back on offense, guys that have missed some time during the course of the year. As you're going through the film, you notice certain guys aren't in there, but receivers, tight ends, and of course Hasselbeck coming back. So they're a team that can throw the ball well. They got a big offensive line and good running backs with Morris and Jones, and so they do a good job. Some real talented players on defense. Trufant, certainly. Deion Grant's a guy that we've seen a lot of. Peterson, Bernard. So good physical, talented players on defense. And so the big thing for us really is just we got a lot of work to do to learn this team and to get familiar with them. During the course of the week.
Hey, Bill, for you personally, when was the last time you were in Seattle for a game?
Well, it's been a while. I think maybe 1 year we opened with them with the Jets, like 97 or 98, somewhere in there. So it's been about 10 years.
You, from your career, do you have any memories from that particular city playing out there?
They're very enthusiastic fans and crowd. And the Kingdom was a very tough place to play in, really loud, and seemed like the fans are right on top of you. Always seemed to throw the ball well out there, going all the way back to Zorn and Largent and from when they came into the league in 70, what year was it, 76 or 77, somewhere in there, 76. Always seems like they had a good, good passing attack. And haven't had a lot of trips out there. But this will be an interesting one. New stadium and, playing outside, so.
Have you had much background with Hasselbeck at all?
No, not too much. No, not too much. More with Holmgren, in some of our battles with him at Green Bay. But, looking back at, our game here 3 years ago, that was a very competitive game, and they think they threw the ball for about 400 yards against us. And, Mike always has an explosive attack. He runs the West Coast offense, and he's, refined it. In many ways, through his experience and the players that he's acquired, they're always an efficient offensive football team. And whatever you do, they've seen before, and they've got their adjustments that they make to it, and they react pretty quickly. It's a veteran group offensively. They got a lot of experienced players on that team at every position. So it, when they see something, they know how to. They know how to adjust to it and how to, get to the new way to attack it.
Bill, this is Ian Rappaport from the Birmingham News. Excuse the randomness of this. The SEC Championship game contains, two coaches you have a pretty good relationship with. I was wondering if you could talk about the kind of conversations you have with Nick and then with Urban and what you guys talk about when you're kind of counseling them.
I don't do too much counseling. I'm trying to learn what they're doing and, take a look at the great success that both of them have had. Both outstanding coaches, and I feel privileged to have a good relationship with both of them. Nick and I go way back to when he was the coach, when he coached at Navy and Ohio State and Michigan State, Toledo, and all that. We've maintained a good relationship through all those college years when we were scouting players. And again, he coached with my dad at the Naval Academy. So Then, of course, he was the defensive coordinator of the Browns from 91 to 94. Did a tremendous job there. You know, I really learned a lot working with Nick in those 4 years. A lot of things that he did defensively were a little different than some of the things I had done with the Giants. And I thought that really, you know, meshed well. Nick's a great secondary coach. Both techniques and schemes and motivates players well. Really does everything well. I mean, he's, you know, he's a hell of a football coach and a great friend and a great recruiter and, you know, just a, you know, great guy to be around. He's a lot of fun. He's witty, he's smart, but he's very determined and, you know, as good a football coach as I've ever had the privilege of coaching with. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me last year to come down there and speak at his, at their clinic in the spring, and that was a lot of fun to catch up with him and you know, Terry and their whole staff, and just watch some of the things that they've done on film at Alabama, as I did with LSU, and, you know, of course, didn't have a chance to do that personally at Miami because, you know, we're in the same division, but, you know, I studied them very carefully, and of course, we had a lot of problems playing against them. Urban, you know, I've gone down there every year since he's been at Florida when he came from Utah. They always have a lot of players, and we've drafted some and had some from his program. But, you know, Urban, and I go back a little bit to when he was in Ohio and I was with Cleveland. We didn't work together, but we, you know, knew each other there. And, then, of course, he was at Notre Dame and in Utah. You know, we had a little bit of connection, but most of it's been since he's gone to Florida. And you know, as the head coach, one of the things I've decided is that, you know, I'm going to take some of the better scouting trips. You know, I'll let somebody else go to Idaho and Minnesota and South Dakota State and all that. I'm going to do a Florida, LSU, Alabama scouting. I'll do some of that. So I've gone down there and spent a lot of time with Urban, you know, looking at his program and some of the things they've done offensively, and developed a good relationship with his coaches and his staff, and not only on the talent, but also their schemes and the way they coach their players, some of the drills they do and stuff like that. So I'm sure it'll be a great game, two very well-coached teams with a lot of good players, and that'll be a fun game to watch.
Are you rooting at all, or you got a pick for me?
I can't do that. I mean, I have all the respect in the world for both men, both coaches, and both programs. And you know, my relationship goes back further with Nick, and I could never root against Nick, but I don't want to root against Urban either. So, may the best team win.
One more thing before I let you guys get back to, you know, your actual opponent and stuff. Are even you surprised a little bit at how quickly Alabama's turned this around based on, I don't know, conversation with Nick or what you saw last summer or anything like that?
Well, when I was down there last spring and I talked to Nick, he felt like he had a lot of good young players coming in, that he had a real good recruiting class. And just like when you draft rookies or when you bring freshmen in, you don't know exactly how they're going to do, how quickly they're going to mature or contribute. And sounds like a lot of those guys have come on quickly, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, and given them some quality play, which I'm sure that they expected eventually. Maybe they just know how quickly it was going to happen, but you know, they got it going right off the bat, and you know, every time I've seen them play, I mean, it didn't seem like anybody can move the ball against them very well or score a lot of points, but at the same time, every time I've seen Florida play, it looks like every guy who touches the ball is faster than the guy that had it the time before and has a better chance of scoring than the guy who just had it. So it still looks like a great, you know, looks like a great matchup between two great teams.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, back to the Seahawks, Bill. At the risk of sounding touchy-feely, I'm just wondering if there's any part of you as a coach in respecting what he's done throughout his tenure in the game that feels for Holmgren with the hand he's been dealt this year, with just, you know, a massive amount of injuries that sort of short-circuited their season before it even started.
Well, I've got a great deal of respect for Mike. We go way back to, the Giants, San Francisco days, and of course in Green Bay and Seattle. He's had a tremendous career, and he's been a great coach as an offensive coach and as a head coach. He's had a lot of success in the different programs that he's been involved with, and I know that they'll be ready to go on Sunday. It's not really, this week, we got our hands full, and we're just going to try to do the best that we can, to be competitive in this game and to go out there and play well. And, every team's got problems at this time of year, so, we all got to deal with them. But, right now our focus is just trying to go out there and win a game.
How much of your early time with the Giants, how much of that time was spent trying to devise defenses to stop the kind of things, the kind of innovations that he was trying to do on offense?
Well, it was a huge part of it because, in the 80s, it seemed like every year it was, the NFC East was tough getting through Dallas. With Landry down there, and then Washington with Gibbs, and Philadelphia in the latter part of the 80s with Buddy Ryan. And we had some great, matchups there, but then it always seemed to roll into Chicago with Ditka from the middle 80s, and we played them in the playoffs in 1990, that Super Bowl year, and Super Bowl 25, and then San Francisco, and, a little bit the Rams, but seemed like it was San Francisco. It seemed like they were in our division, even though they weren't, where we played them every year, and seemed like we played them in the playoffs, 84, 86, 88, I think it was, and then 90, so, at least four playoff games, and that offense was tough, tough to deal with, and it got very popular in the National Football League as Walsh's disciples like Mike and Gruden, and then their disciples like McCarthy and Childress and Andy Reid and so forth and so on just started going into the league, and it seemed like there a few years ago, like half the league was running the West Coast offense, and now that's kind of I don't think there's quite as many teams doing it now, but there's still a pretty looks like that whole NFC North is pretty much West Coast. So anyway, that was a big part of it, from going to a team like the Redskins, who we played twice a year, that was a very physical, pound the line of scrimmage and throw the ball deep down the field on play-action passes and a lot of go routes and stuff like that, to a team like San Francisco that has, and the West Coast offense, like the way Mike runs it now, that is all based on precision timing passing game. With a lot of five receivers out and a quarterback going five steps and getting the ball out on time and, bang, bang, it's snapped, thrown, caught, and they gain 9 yards and, what happened? And now it's second and one and they just do it again and do it again. They run a very crisp, fast-paced attack, and I think that's really the trademark of that style of offense. Not that they don't throw it deep, but they're very efficient in their passing game, use their backs, use their tight ends, and have a lot of yards after the catch on a lot of catch and run plays.
Bill, the last time you guys had back-to-back trips out west, you stayed out there. How did you feel that went, and will there be any changes based on that experience this time around?
I don't think there'll really be any changes. It'll be a couple refinements, just maybe tweaking a couple things here and there that maybe can smooth that out a little bit, but. The only difference really will be playing away from that area, playing in Seattle and then traveling down there after the game, and then staying and playing right there in Oakland as opposed to the other way around where we played San Francisco and then stayed and then traveled down to San Diego. But I think for the most part it'll be pretty similar, the practice week from, Monday to Friday or Saturday, however you want to look at it, will be pretty much the same as what it was.
And was that a tough decision, Bill, or was that sort of a no-brainer? I mean, after the last time, did you guys have sit down and sort of say, hey, do we want to do this again, or did you pretty much have it in your mind you know, hey, this worked out well, let's just go ahead and do it again?
I'd say more of the latter. We talked about it at the beginning of the year that we would, you know, do it on the first trip and see how it went. I think that everybody felt like it went well, very well, you know, the week out there, that we had a productive week, and players got a lot more rest and were better physically and fresher than if, you know, we'd been crisscrossing the country two more times. And, you know, we got everything done that we needed to get done, and in some cases it was a little bit better because we're all just staying right there at the hotel. Guys, you know, didn't have to travel back and forth to home and all that. I mean, you know, you miss sleeping in your own bed, but from a team standpoint, it gave us a little more time together, both on and off the field, and I think that was good for, you know, just team bonding and spending time together, as well as our preparation for the game. So wish we would have played a little better and had a little better outcome at San Diego, but I don't think that was the result of the week. We evaluated that before we played the game, so we wouldn't feel skewed by the results. You know, we talked about it before the game was played in San Diego, you know, rather than wait till the game's over and then say, well, you know, we won, it was great, we lost, it was bad. You know, we tried to evaluate it, you know, there on Saturday before the game was played, and we all felt pretty good about it, players and coaches. When I met with the captains, it was, you know, very positive feedback from them and the other players too. So that's kind
Bill,
of
Richard was on EEI yesterday lobbying for a little more playing time on third down. Is that something you could envision going forward, or do you like the rotation the way it is?
Every week we'll try to do what's best for the football team, make the best decisions on the personnel and scheme every week that we feel like give us the best chance to win. And so sometimes splitting those things up, you know, there's merit to that. Sometimes, you know, doing it, there's different ways to do it, and some of that's a function of the game plan or the team we're playing, or other situations that involve individual players or groups of players, or just the situation at different positions. So can't give me any set formula on that, but other than to say the formulas, we'll do what we feel like is best for the team for each individual game, and this week it'll be Seattle. So whatever we feel like is the best way to beat Seattle, that's what we're going to do.
I'm sure you'd rather he keep those thoughts private, but do you respect the fact that, you know, he wants to be out there on every play?
I think, you know, all the players want to play and they want to contribute. And I have that conversation with players every week, different positions, different guys. I respect that. That's why you prepare and compete for this game, is to play it and to play well. And I respect that from all the players. But at the same time, you know, I try to take everything in consideration and you know, try to put the team out there that we feel like has the best chance from a total team standpoint, taking everything in consideration of, you know, what's best for the football team. And I know the players all understand that. I might not agree with every single thing, but they understand that. You know, football is a team sport. And in order to participate on a team, each one of us has to give up a little bit of something individually that we would maybe prefer to do if it was just strictly about us, but it's not. It's what's best for everybody. So there's always a little bit of give and take with a team on, you know, what you do and how you do it in order to do the best thing for the team to help the team win. And we all have to do that. And I think the players on this team do a great job of it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, if they could have it just a little bit differently, they wouldn't prefer it that way. I understand that, but that goes for every player and coach on this team and probably every other football team.
Bill, I just had a quick question. I was wondering what the challenges are that are for rookie running backs.
I'll take a final question.
Unique to their position.
Sorry, I think I just talked over whoever was trying to ask a question. We'll take a final question.
Sure, I'm sorry, Stacey. I was just wondering if Bill could comment on the challenges that are unique to the position for a rookie running back.
Well, for a running back, it's, with any rookie, a little bit of that's a function of what the player did in college and how much experience he has doing some of the things that that he's now being asked to do in the National Football League. But I would just say, in general, any position but running back would be included here is just the passing game. The passing game in the National Football League is a lot more sophisticated, and it's executed with better skill players than what generally there are in colleges, and you see a lot more variety in terms of blitzes, coverages, and whether it be pass rush or pass coverage techniques that you have to deal with. So for a running back, issues such as blitz pickup, recognizing different fronts, and when teams bring multiple defensive backs into the game, five or six, sometimes even seven defensive backs, who's a linebacker, who's a defensive back, who's a linebacker, who's a safety when it's all a bunch of DBs and linebackers running around back there, who's a defensive lineman, who's a linebacker when a team's only got one or two defensive linemen on the field. You know, how do you treat different people? How do you treat different fronts? How do you treat those different looks? Who's got who? And then when you get out into the pattern, what's man, what's zone, what's a combination man, what's, you know, how do you read the different leverage? First of all, who's covering you? And then how do you read the leverage of that player? And if it's a zone, what type of zone is it? Is it two deep? Is it one? Is it single high? Is it two deep? Is it, again, some type of combination zone where, you know, it's man on one side, zone on the other? And those affect your routes and your locations and sometimes even your depths. So there's a lot of things like that that the college players, for the most part, haven't seen, unless maybe they've been in a program like Alabama with Nick, where that's the type of defense their team runs. So maybe they, or they play against it a lot, maybe they're familiar with it. But I would say, for the most part, those things are a big challenge for the running backs. But, you know, the other challenge for the running backs running the ball in the NFL is just the overall team speed. And in high school and in college, a lot of running backs make yardage by just bouncing the ball outside and outrunning most of the players on the field because they're just faster than everybody else. It's really hard to do that in the NFL, and you don't see a lot of yards made, generally speaking, where a guy just outruns the whole team. Sometimes they get outside because the defense is in poor position, but you don't very often see a back just take the ball and round up everybody and run down the sideline for long runs. You see a lot of that in high school. You see a lot of that in college, especially with the wider hash marks and more space to the field. And, you know, so a back that's really fast can get out there and just, you know, outrun everybody for 40 or 50 yards. So you just can't do that in this league very often unless the guy is really, really, really fast. And there's not that many backs that have that kind of speed. So they have to learn how to run in shorter spaces and read blocks and, you know, deal with more guys who can potentially tackle them and cutbacks and stuff like that, because a lot of that open space and just running away from everybody, it's just hard to do at this level. And like I said, guys that had a lot of production doing that in high school and college, sometimes that's a hard habit to break. So those are some of the things that rookie backs have to adjust to coming into the NFL.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.